Speaking of magic tricks, Thursday was Ascension Day. You know, Ascension, when Jesus ascended into heaven. It was 40 days after Easter. You know, Jesus rises from the dead. He's with the disciples. He teaches them, talks to them, eats with them, appears here and there. And then he ascends into heaven, you know. It's in the Creed, the Apostles' Creed, if you memorize that. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I have never preached on Ascension, mostly because what do you say about Ascension Day? I think maybe I have a few thoughts. So hear the story of the ascension of Jesus. Again, 40 days after Easter. So when the disciples had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And when Jesus had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. I usually write my sermons on Saturday night, but this is confirmation. It's special. I've been working on this one. I went to the best. I went to astounding Bruce Carroll, the church magician. I bypassed David Copperfield. Bypassed Albus Dumbledore, went straight to Bruce Carroll, and he's been coaching me on magic. So I think I can pull this out. I need a couple of volunteers from back there in the cheap seats. I need a couple of you to help me with this. Come on, come on. One more, come on. Don't be shy, you won't be harmed. Okay, there we go. Okay, James, I'm going to give you the cards. If you'll just take the cards out of the deck, okay? And if you look at them, you'll notice it's a new deck. See, they're all in order and everything. Now, what I'd like you to do is shuffle the cards a little bit. Very good, very good. Shuffle them as much as you'd like. That's enough. Thank you. Now, Corey, don't do this until I hand the cards to Corey. Corey, you're going to choose a card out of there. I'm going to turn my head so I can see. You're going to show the congregation the card. So go ahead and walk up and down. You do the Vanna White, you know, spin a letter thing. Show everybody the card so everybody sees what the card is, but don't say what it is, okay? Because then I would know, of course, even though that's not the trick anyway. Okay, go ahead, Corey. A little faster, Corey. Thank God this is the practice service. Bum 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 bum. Is it? You got it? Everybody seen it? Okay, put it back in the deck. Put it back in the deck. Okay. James, if you'll shuffle the cards again. Okay, then I want you to give them to Corrine in the front row there. Corrine, I'd like you to cut the cards and hand it to Dave. And Dave, if you will take the top, stand up, take the top card. Don't let me see, but just take the top card that I can just show. You don't have to run around over here. Just show everybody the card. Yeah? No? Well, of course not. That'd be ridiculous. That would be a really amazing trick if I could do that, wouldn't it? Of course it would be, but no. Corey, your card is the Three of Clubs. Seriously, not? Yeah, it is. Come on, it is, really. No. Well, then it's the Queen of Hearts. I'll go sit down. Where's Bruce? You better...
you better do this. I do not know what went wrong. I mean, we rehearsed this. Yeah. Take that out of there. Thanks. Seriously, I don't know what happened. I don't know what went wrong, but I do know this is Confirmation Sunday, and I have to get this right. So I think you just need to do it. It's okay. People, I don't have to do this.
The part you and I rehearsed together, that went fine. That went great.
Well, it did. Yeah. I guess it seemed to go. But this was the easy one. This is like it was the warm up, and. No.
I think you got
it.
This,
didn't
right?
go. No, you need to go. Kathy, give him a microphone, would you? Because he's going to need to do this trick for me because. I can do the sermon part, but I mean, really, after I blew that one, I mean, who is going to volunteer to get in here? I mean, who's going to do that? I mean, well, Kathy, would you do it?
No, I've been married to you too long. I don't.
See, my wife won't do it. So, I mean, who's going to volunteer? And besides, let's face it, it's probably not safe.
Well, Greg, when we rehearsed this, we had that ginormous bunny, stuffed bunny that you used.
Right.
Did you bring that?
No,
would you still do it?
Because I was going to get a volunteer.
Because it was Confirmation Sunday, we were going to use a volunteer. Yeah,
so
right.
No, I don't have the bunny. So if you'll just do the...
All right, no, you got this, Greg. You can do this. Have some confidence. You can do this.
I had confidence at 7:55.
I tell you what. We'll do a couple of things here. First of all,
okay.
We'll forget the part about the lock. Okay, just
okay.
Leave that off. Don't use
no
the lock.
Lock.
You don't really need it. All
okay.
right, skip that part. Second of all, I'll get in the trunk.
You'll get in the trunk?
Sure.
You would take that risk for me?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Because you got this.
If you'll do it, I'll try it. If it doesn't work, then you can do it. I mean,
you got it, Greg. You got it. You can do it.
Okay.
Kathy, Greg, I think he needs a little moral support here. He's kind of. His confidence is shaken.
Moral support right now.
To come on up, yeah. One on one side, one on the other. That'd be great.
Do the illusion.
Just to help him out. All right. Okay. You got this.
Okay.
You got this, right? Well, remember the steps. What do we do? We gotta unlatch it here.
Open the latch. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Then we're gonna show.
We're gonna take this and.
We have to show him that the box is empty, right? Empty box. Good. Okay.
Excellent. Now's the part where I get in.
This is the scary part.
Okay.
It's been fun, y'all. Thanks, Greg.
Angie's not here, is she?
Nope.
Good. Good.
Not good.
Okay.
All right, do your thing.
Okay. All right. You sure?
I'm sure.
Okay. All right.
Bye, y'all.
Okay. We don't use a word. You and I have to spin it around. So, and let's. Yeah, clockwise. Let's go clockwise. 1, 2, 3. Okay, let's see. 1, 2, 3. Hey, and he's gone. This is where tremendous applause happens. I would hardly call that tremendous applause for making a man disappear. Oh, they can't see, can they? I keep forgetting. Okay. All right, let's try this. Okay. All right, ready? And he's gone. Bruce Carroll, the church magician, is gone. And what I'd like to point out to you is that that is what the ascension of Jesus is all about. Jesus is gone. Gone. I mean, he's been with the disciples for all this time, for years before. But now he's gone. And they are on their own. It's just like us. Jesus has left us on our own. On our own. Now, I'll tell you, I've never seen Jesus. Have you? I mean, I know about Jesus. I know about the things he said, about the way he talked to people, about the way that when you heard his voice, you knew you weren't alone in the world, about how when you were with him, you can almost feel those wounds beginning to heal. I mean, I know about Jesus. I know about how he gave his life for ours so we would know how much he loves us. I know about the stories he would tell about God's amazing grace. I mean, he made religious people really mad, people like us really mad, with the way he welcomed and affirmed everyone. I know about the resurrection thing where Jesus defies death. He's strong. The power of love is stronger than death. I know about all this stuff, but I haven't seen Jesus because he's gone. He's gone. And so if the things that Jesus did are going to continue to be done, if children are going to be blessed, if the lonely are going to be befriended, if those who have messed up are going to be forgiven, if those who are hungry are going to be fed, then who's got to do it? Jesus is gone. It's up to his disciples, all the generations of us. It's up to us to do the things Jesus would do. There was a composer in the early 1900s, Puccini. Say that. It's one of those wonderful names. Puccini. Come on, try it. Puccini. I'll put a little more heart into it than that. Come on. Puccini, thank you. He wrote operas like Madame Butterfly, operas people loved, you know, popular, kind of the popular music of the day, operas. Madame Butterfly, La Boheme, which, you know, in our generation has become the musical Rent. That was the inspiration for Rent. Well, the last opera that Puccini wrote was called Turandot, and he was ill, deathly ill, as he wrote it. And he did not finish the opera. He just left some scribbled pages of how he was going to finish this, his last work of music. Well, the time came for Turandot to be premiered at the great opera house in Milan, La Scala in Milan, Italy. And the conductor was Arturo Toscanini, who was one of his favorite pupils, who became quite famous in his own right. And Toscanini was conducting this great orchestra, this great piece, and he came to the last note that Puccini had written. And he stopped the orchestra, and he turned around and faced the audience, and he set his baton down, and he said, "Here the master put down his pen and died." And he left them in silence for a few moments. And then he picked up his baton, and he said, "But his disciples finished the work." And he turned back to conduct the rest of the opera that had been put together by his followers, by his disciples. And the opera closed to thunderous applause. His disciples finished the work. Jesus is gone, but his disciples finish the work. That's a great privilege. That's a great honor to be called, to be asked to finish the work of Jesus. And to do that, we need to be the eyes and the heart and the hands of Jesus in the world. To be the eyes of Jesus, to see the world the way Jesus sees it. Full of terrors, yes, but full also of wonders for the great gift that this world is to us, the great gift that life is to us. To see people the way Jesus saw them, as amazing and wonderful and yet flawed and broken, and yet all of that together, beautiful. To see each and every person the way Jesus saw them. That's part of what our calling is to do. To be Jesus' heart in the world. To be his heart in the world. To rejoice with those who rejoice. To weep with those who weep. To be angry at the things that made Jesus angry, when children go to bed hungry, or when bullies have their way, or when people love things and use people instead of the other way around, the way it's meant to be, using things and loving people. And we're to be Jesus' hands in the world. I mean, if hungry people are to be fed, if lonely people are to be befriended, who will do it? His disciples must finish. Now, you can do what you want to do. It's not that. You can do whatever you want to do. You can be a teacher, a lawyer, a musician, a carpenter. You can play football. You can learn how to dance. You can live the life that God's calling you to live, because enjoying life and celebrating life is certainly, surely part of God's call. But you do all that while seeing the world the way Jesus sees it, while loving people the way Jesus loves them, while serving people the way Jesus served them. It's a great thing, I promise you. It's a great thing to be able to live the life God calls you to live, and to see and love and serve the way Jesus served and loved and saw. It's a great thing. In fact, that would be the summary of the sermon, really. Jesus is gone, so you are Jesus' eyes and his heart and his hands in the world. Let us pray.
Greg, you forgot something.
Oh, you're right. I did forget something.